Okay, if you're a speaker, please take to the stage. We've got a special session for you, folks. Very special session for you. So, has anybody ever had a hot seat session before? Put your hand up if you've seen what a hot seat is. One, two, okay. Okay, guys.
I mean, I'm on there. Eddie? There we go. Hey, first thing I want to make a couple of announcements. VAT. Mm-hmm. A lot of us need VAT tax invoices, correct?
Yeah.
You will be getting them. We have a new company formed, World Internet Summit UK Limited. It's headquartered here in London. We have applied for our VAT number. We should have it, they tell us, in approximately 2 weeks. And since we won't know who does and who doesn't, we're going to ship VAT invoices out to everybody for the conference itself and for the goods that you purchase. And so do remember, of course, the prices that people have been quoting have been plus VAT, so that'll get added on. We got something exciting happening tonight. After this is going to be exciting, I tell you, and meaningful. But then we're going to have a little fun, let our hair down. In the Somerset room, we're going to have a karaoke session.
Yeehaw!
And yeehaw is the right word. We've got a country music star who's showing up and going to help entertain you. He came all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina. Oh, they turned it off. No, they didn't. There we go. Welcome, Michael Lee Austin. So we ought to have fun. Make sure we'll end here somewhere at 9-ish, and we'll just go up to our rooms and dump our stuff off and go to the Somerset room right by the restaurant. Okay. And and then the hot seats. This is a very powerful event for you. What we're going to be doing, and we've got an hour to do this, is grab someone from the audience. Of course, it's all volunteer. You see that hot seat there? That's where you get to sit. And you're going to have, you see these experts here? You're going to have the opportunity to share what you're working on, what you're thinking about working on, maybe some issues that you've had about anything in the world related to internet marketing, and you're going to get the best advice that you could get. And believe me, a lot of people, when they go back home and they tell us, you know, later on what happened, they find that the most valuable thing was here, because we don't know what ideas are going to come up. We don't know what it's got, and it's real world. So, that being the case, who would like to be the first hot seat? Susie, have you got your hand up?
Ladies first.
Yep. Ladies first.
Absolutely.
Come on up, Susie. By the way, as you do know, it takes a little bit of courage because you're going to get critiqued, but it's very valuable. Do you need assistance getting over?
I'm on, I think.
Okay. And so the rules are we're going to have to keep it moving as fast as we can, so I'm going to limit it to about 7 minutes, which means succinctly explain what you would like to have this panel of experts work on for you.
I'll be going home to Australia in August, and I'd like to be setting up business, doing live angel card readings, but of course that's just only one product. The products, I'd like to, of course that involves live conferencing and everything, but it'd be a new age, prayers online, people praying for paying for prayers, anything to do with a new age healing, but specifically angels, God work.
And your question or concern? What is your question or your concern?
Where do I start? I've got so many ideas, but at the moment I've decided to just create one product of something that I know. I haven't researched it all yet. This is just ideas that have come up this weekend.
Susie, we need you to focus on what you don't know.
I want to know how I can... I want to make money out of it.
Which is a good start. It's a very good start. So the question might be, how can I make money out of the angel prayers?
Healing. Prayers and healing and new... Yes. Let's do that for now.
It would appear to me that you'd have to do some work first and get some testimonials going so that they knew you were somebody.
Yes.
Is anybody else selling this sort of thing online? Anyone doing anything like that?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I haven't actually researched yet, but I know there is, yep.
Okay, well, you got to know that. Definitely got to find that out, right? And we can see if there's some success there for a start.
Yep.
Okay. And it's really worthwhile to do your research because then we can really solve problems. Well, like that.
I have a client that's in Singapore, and what she does is she does something very similar to that. And basically, everything that we talked about here this weekend, it works the exact same way for that concept, for that product and what you do. So what you do is, again, use the same basic techniques, name capture page, sales letter, the whole works. But again, what you're looking for is you want to break it down as far as what is it that you want to promote first.
Yeah.
Meaning, do you want to do, are you reading or do you want to sell a product per se? And then if you have a product, I mean, what is it that you
want
to do first?
I think what I've learned this weekend is that I don't want to be doing all the hard work. I'm going to be creating a network and a setup for web conferencing so that all the angel readers in the world can be using my system. That's how I want to do it.
I'll get to you in a second. Just wait your turn. But the one thing I just want to advise you to do is one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Is to focus in on just one, either a product or focus in on the reading, but don't try to build a network because at least not right now. Because later on, and that's great to have that bigger vision as to know what you want to do, because that everything that you do can now lead to that. But focus on just one thing and get something started first.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
One other thing, I would tell your clients and customers that you, or your story, that you got your inspiration from angels.
Yes,
and not these goons.
One thing I'd say also. Wasn't that funny? Look at your haircut.
Yeah, it was.
What I would say as well, as I said, I came from a hypnotherapy background ages ago where I did massage and that as well. So it's not the same, but in a related field as such. Like aromatherapy comes with massage and incense candles and burners and things like that and things people hang from their roof. And they've got similar kind of things. I would honestly look like what Jason does with joint ventures, people who could actually promote your services, complementary products. Even people like who do massage, they're still into scents, aromas. They're also into soaps and they're into talcs, etc. So there's a lot of other things. You can go to people, I'm new to the industry, and I'll give you a free prayer or you a free such and such, and all in exchange for just a name and an email or something of some of your clients just to help me out, you know. Because at first, as I said, it's like when you're building a relationship with your customer, if you're trying to ask them for all this cash up front when you haven't really, or put a few prayers online to show them the kind of thing, or they can print it out in a frame with their name attached to it, just little things just to really build your credibility and get a relationship with your customer or your future customer.
Thank you.
And Susie, just one other thing. One of my clients, Liz McDonald, runs a website called angelreading.com. Yeah. So go check it out. She's built up exactly as Armin outlined. And I think the important thing for you is not only to be offering a service or a product in it, but actually to be very specifically niched. With her, we've got her in automatic writing, which is one style of angel reading. And I think that's a really important positioning thing for you. And then added products and all that come in your back end as you build up a list of qualified leads. But I think thinking about the specific style of angel reading that you want to do is probably a good place to start. It's worked very well for Liz.
Thank you.
Jenny, is angel reading pretty competitive already?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
It's growing.
It's a growth industry. Women spend well, bucket loads of money on
this. Here's
an
idea for you, is to go find all the people who are already doing this, interview them, see how much money they're making doing it, and then go, yeah, do it. If there's already a lot of people already setting this up, you could just use the web conferencing. You know, you don't need to, you can just, for $10 a month, you can have your own web conference.
That's right.
That you can have all month. And you could go teach these people how, give them some case studies, and you could set up a, you know, I think you could do a little network pretty easy. If there's a lot of these people already doing it.
One thing that you want to think, too, is that, remember, I like the idea of the web conference, but you might want to consider this, is that, remember, most, I think this is something we need to consider when we're going to the general public with any kind of product, is that most people don't know what a web conference or teleseminar, they haven't, because they just haven't been exposed to it yet, even though we know it's not complicated. But if we do that, we need to give them specific instructions on how to do it and what to expect. And that goes for anybody. If you're going in any other market aside from essentially this industry, you know, a marketing industry, no one else will know what a web conference, webinar, teleseminar, whatever is.
You're right.
So you just want to remember it's message to market in many different respects, and that you just want to give the right message to the right market and also the delivery of that message.
Thank you.
Can I just give you, if you go angelatherapy.com, there is a huge organization.
Start over again.
Sorry. If you go to the angeltherapy.com, there is a huge organization. They do have like seminar like us. There is a 500 sitting. There is more than 100 people, experts. They have organization. You can contact them, and then you can organize a conference. Yeah. They are. Yeah.
Good.
I've just trained with her. So.
Good.
I've just done her training course last week in Glastonbury, so I'm fired up for that and qualified. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Let's give Susie a hand. All right.
And folks, it's one thing to watch a person up here and see us solve their problem. What you should be thinking is, how does that apply to me? Yeah. Because everything we're saying here could be applied to you. So don't look at this as us solving the problem. Look at it as an ideas generating session for yourself.
Now, does that work even when you're not in the same industry?
Absolutely. How can I adapt that to what I'm doing?
Very good. Jeff, I believe you were next. Have you got a question, or are you volunteering? Okay. You be next.
I was here a minute ago.
All right. Let's hear it, Jeff.
Hi. This is quite an overawing experience, really. When we came here, my partners and I, we set up two companies already. One was concentrating on investment properties, and the other was we wanted to get into internet marketing to pay for the shortfall on the £4 million of properties we own in terms of rents not meeting the mortgages. And we've done a lot the last few days. We started with going with Brett. We signed up with you, Brett.
That was your first mistake right there.
Yeah, first mistake, okay. Second mistake was David Cavanaugh was continuing the training. The third mistake, I think, was Armand. Okay.
No, I think, actually, in order, I was the first mistake then.
Yeah, you were, yeah. Okay. In fact, I was really, really impressed. No, in fact...
can we get that on tape?
The other two were, though.
When I saw Armand last night in cowboy boots, I thought, I made the right choice there. Okay.
Wait till tonight.
And then with Stephen this evening. Yes, right. I mean, we've bought two products of Stephen, and I believe we can build our whole internet marketing strategy around these two products. But I'm so concerned that we've got all these other things going that we may lose focus. And that's what I need some help.
Well, I think the first thing, what I would do is at 8:30 tomorrow morning, actually at 10:30 tomorrow morning, is to come down and listen to Kurt's talk and then buy his package first. And then because right now,
oh yeah, I'm also
right now you're incomplete.
Stephen said a very good comment this afternoon. He said, "This is your brokest day." Well, I'm even broker now.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
You know. Seriously, though, and to address your question, is that what you need to do is you need to Each one of the things that you're involved with has a specific purpose.
Yeah,
there's nothing that actually overlaps in any one of them, because I know, you know, each one of their products and things. So what you need to do is take a look and say, okay, which is the part that I need to do first?
Yeah.
Okay, and it kind of make a step by step. And it doesn't have to be detailed. I'm not telling you to make a detailed game plan. I'm just saying, okay, step one, I need, okay, a domain name. Step two, I need a website. For a website, what do I need? Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's my own product, or if it's a product you have from Stephen, product you have from David, whatever it may be, if I need to have a website, then what do I need to do with the website? I need copy. So then I'm going to have Brett. So I'm going to focus on Brett's product first. That's step one. Okay. Then I'm going to go on from there on, again, what's according to your needs at that particular time. Because if you try to delve into everything all at once,
I'll disappear.
It's going to confuse you. Yeah. It's going to confuse you. But everything, I mean, I buy, this morning I came down, I spent $2,000 before I came downstairs today on other products and stuff. I mean, crazy.
Well, my business partner keeps buying e-books anyway.
But the thing is that I may read an e-book, and I may read an e-book or buy an e-book for just one idea, one comment, one line out of the whole book. Sometimes I buy the e-book just for the bonus that they gave me. I didn't even want the e-book. I want the bonus that they gave me. But I'm looking for one specific task that I need to do. What do I need to accomplish right now? And hopefully that's a solution for me. The other things, though, I have, and then what happens is all of a sudden I come to a point, I need that, but I've got that already, so I'll delve into that library, so to say, and then put that into action and take that into place. It's just step by step at a time, and then you have to know where you are in your structure and your strategy as to what is it that's appropriate for you right now.
Well, we have a property website already. I've been selling investment properties by word of mouth, and I sold £4 million since Christmas. And so I thought, well, let's go on the web and do this thing properly. Next week, though, I shall redesign my website after this weekend.
The best partnerships, and I know you're actually part of a team.
Yeah.
The best partnerships are those which each member plays a different role.
Yeah.
Not three people pulling in the same direction.
That's right.
So start and assign certain people to certain tasks, and then get together weekly and meet. You know, just run it like a company in roles.
And in that case, too, you can actually break them up, and just like Brett had said, is to break it up where each of you, okay, you cover. You become the expert at these products. You become the expert at this information. You become the expert at this. And so now, not one of you, you're still part of a team. It's just a joint effort that way, and it's going to be much more easier for your team to understand all of it all.
Yeah. And have you
ever put together a puzzle before?
Yes.
Has everybody put together a puzzle before?
Yeah.
Is it easier to put together the puzzle if you have a picture of what the puzzle is supposed to look like when it's completed?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
So, what should everything look like when it's done? And then, and I'm looking for answers. I mean, you could just kind of think about that. What is everything supposed to look like when it's done? And then look at the elements that you've purchased.
Yeah.
And then look at what their purpose is. What purpose they solve. Those are the pieces of the puzzle. And then this is where the fun begins. It's not supposed to be confusing or stressful. This is where the fun begins. This is where building your business really starts to happen. So, it's not about overwhelm. It's just about organizing it and structuring it and understanding, ultimately, this is what the picture is supposed to look like, and these are pieces of that picture, so let's just start moving them into place.
Right.
That's it. Just relax and just move each one into place, and it becomes much easier to move them into place when you understand what the completed puzzle is supposed to look like. Does that make sense?
It does. But what gets me at the moment is every time I look in my inbox, there's another damned offer. Another damned offer, so I have to...
Okay. There comes a stage.
Well, here's the thing. That's going to happen. For as many speakers that are here, that's how many offers you're going to get.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Remember I talked about focus?
Yeah.
If you don't have focus, it becomes easy to be seduced by everything that sounds good. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's good for you.
Yeah.
And it's no offense to the speakers or anything like that. It's not like you're necessarily missing out. But, you know, what is a fit for you?
Yeah.
The opportunity itself is going to always look great. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
And legitimately, it should. It should not do you a disservice if you buy it. But you have to ask yourself, based on the picture, based on where it is you're going, does this fit where it is you're moving to? If it fits, bam, you are obligated to yourself, to your future, to any legacy that you want to leave, to do it. If it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit right now, so you decline. See, many of us, We look at all these things that we want to do, but we never make a list of the things that we're not going to do. And because we don't have any disqualifiers in our life, we become easily seduced by all these other things. And now we have all these things, and we don't know where they fit because we don't even know where we're ultimately going to. You know? Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah, thank you.
Good job, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
Can I escape now?
Yeah, you're off the hot seat now. All right, we've got a volunteer right here. Come on up, and got two more, then you'll be next, and then you'll be next. And when you get the mic, introduce yourself, and then succinctly tell us how we can help you.
The chair is too short for me. Hi, I'm Blue, the weird one. I have to blame my dad and mom for that. I run a speaking bureau. What should I do specifically online or using internet marketing to attract small and medium-sized company to hire our speaker or trainers?
You need to market your speakers by the solutions or the topics that they cover. Okay? Don't make your speaker bureau the central site of your business and expect people to want to go, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 deep to possibly find what they're after. So it's the same direct response approach that you should take and advertise what it is that the presenter can offer to the organization, to the target audience. So it's still a sales letter kind of format. Obviously with the product being the speaker and then the process to be able to book that. I've done that with a little organisation in Melbourne, and you know, now they're targeted marketing, particularly with search engines, to specific problems. Okay?
How many speakers do you have in your bureau? How many do you represent?
We have tons.
Tons?
We have lots, yeah.
How many can I hear?
Say that again.
How many can I hear online? What they sound like.
See and hear.
And see, what can I see? How many can I hear and see online on your website?
None at the moment.
That's a problem. Oh, okay. To give you an example of how I know it's a problem, in 1997 I got up in front of the National Speakers Association division in Georgia, and I said, how many people have websites? Most of them said no. I said, how many can, you all are speakers? Connotation, I should be able to hear you? How many can be heard from your website? I got inundated with websites. That's a great opportunity. You've learned this weekend how you can make your website see and hear those speakers, and you could make money doing that as a service for all of us.
Also, what you can do...
Buy my package.
What I would do is first of all, you break each individual speaker into their own page, first of all, right? Except what you do it by subdomains instead. Where, what I mean by subdomain, if your speaker bureau was xyz.com, it would be armandmorin.xyz.com. You come to a page, it's all about me. And then you go to the second page, again, it's all about me. You go, do you get the idea? But you do this for each individual speaker. So it'd be stephenpierce.xyz.com, kirkchristensen.xyz.com. So now they have their own web page individually. So now you can optimize those web pages in the search engines for their specific name, and also, again, as Jenny said, what the topics that they speak on. On your main page, it's divided up into topics, just like Jenny had said as well. You divide up under topics, under categories, under what they're speaking under, and again, that will have its page. So again, each page can be easily optimized in the search engines for it, and obviously what Mike said with the audio and the video, it just makes a lot of sense.
Exactly, and there's someone in the crowd here. Martin Wells, would you stand up, please? Okay. Martin Wells is a professional speaker. He's got on his laptop one of his speaker presentation videos. I would make sure that I talked to Martin Wells. And Martin, what would you say?
Hi. Can I ask you a couple questions? Are your speakers affiliates?
No. Say that
okay,
again.
Where one speaker speaks, there's a void the next time they have a meeting. Make your speakers affiliates of your own program. So if I speak about sales this week, Ted can be there next week speaking about internet marketing.
And Martin could make the reference, the referral.
Right. The other thing is event planners, are they affiliates?
No.
Meeting planners?
No.
Hotel sales coordinators?
No.
I'd say you have storefront syndrome. That's where you create one website and you expect everyone to come find you. Are you familiar with the 7-Eleven stores in North America?
N-O.
Well, what kind of convenience store do you have here that's everywhere? Texaco? Tesco. So you have Tesco. So, right? So you want to have a Tesco on every corner so people find you very easily. You don't want to have one Harrods that everyone has to fly to. So get that mindset and use more offline marketing. Do you promote publicity for your speakers?
Yeah, we're using offline marketing.
Right. Basically, but what about online publicity?
Our networking, our network capability, because we do know a lot of people. But
okay.
I think we attract a lot of speakers, but it's quite hard for us to attract certain industry of the organization because we're targeting a small and medium-sized company.
Do you ever do spotlight events?
Never heard of that term, so I guess...
A spotlight event, you have like 5 speakers, go to the associations and give them their speakers at a discount for the first one from your organization, and then make them an affiliate also. That's all.
Good job, Martin, thank you.
One of the other things, though, too, is that, you know, you said a very important statement, is that you said, we didn't do whatever it may be because we know a lot of people, our network knows a lot of people. It doesn't matter how many people you know. What matters is how many people know you. That's the key. And as a speaker, you want everybody to know who you are as an individual. And as a speaker's bureau, you need that 10 times that to know who you are, that you are the source online. And it's quite honestly, it's a competitive market. And you need to make yourself stand out. Audio, video on the website is definitely going to make you stand out because there's not another speaker's bureau on the net that actually has full audio and video, both.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. And come on up, introduce yourself, and tell us briefly what your problem is, how we can help you.
Hi, my name is Ron. Very briefly, the company we've got runs project management events, that generic topic that several of you talked about. We aim to focus on professionals, that's professionals at all levels, not specifically any one category, which in itself is a problem. You talked a few minutes ago about the big picture or the jigsaw and so on, and I thought that was a very interesting analogy because as a result of this 2.5 days so far, I can see clearly what I need to do to capture stuff that you were talking about yesterday with putting courses on the web and so on. My problem is that, as I explained to Jenny yesterday, or the day before, the term project management is 22 million search results or something like that, which brings its own problems, and my company is probably about 23 million. So I just need some advice about how initially to drive people to my website before I get the big picture.
Project management for who?
For professional staff. That's staff at...
What kind of professional staff?
Accountants, solicitors.
Okay.
Anybody.
Stop. Okay.
It's not just stop because
no,
it's...
No. You have
to okay, go on.
Project management, 22 million people come up, right? Mm-hmm. Can you be one out of 20 million people? I mean, can you be number one out of 22 million?
Yeah, impossible.
The odds are greatly against you. But what if you had separate websites promoting the same company underneath different categories for that? You're going to be able to get number one rankings fairly quickly for accounting for the different other categories that you may have and that you can specialize in. And you can become as a subcategory of your website or a subcategory of what it is that you do, just separate it out, even though it may still be part of the same website, but it will get you noticed in that particular market much, much easier by niching it down and then have focus teams on specific marketing for that accounting, for this, for that, whatever the other categories that you may do. Now, your company may cover it all, but in order to tackle it, it's like how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you need to cover one market, one category at a time.
So when you say project management, you're talking like things that you would use inside a Microsoft project and critical paths and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
But we don't talk about Microsoft project.
Right. Okay. one of the first things you're going to need to do is get past the whole idea of just the keyword being project management. Have you ever heard of a tool called Word Tracker?
I have,
okay.
And I spent a lovely day on it and went through what is known as a ream of paper here.
There you go. So we printed out 500 sheets of paper of keywords related to project management. Okay, that's a start. Now you can take all those keywords and advertise under Google AdWords, 5 cents a keyword, and figure out which of those keywords is bringing you the best traffic. You're going to find some of the most general keywords aren't going to bring you any results. Some of the specific ones, you know, project management for accounting for accountants in, you know, Stratford, you know, that you may not get a lot of clicks, but it's going to convert very extremely highly and cheaply. Yeah, 5 cents a click. One of the great things about Microsoft Project. I had to take a class in college on that, unfortunately. So Google AdWords is going to be your best bet to get initial traffic. And from there, you can track everything down to the penny and figure out which of those keywords are converting. Some of the tools out there are incredibly, incredibly detailed for making money from Google AdWords. And, I mean, basically, even if you just started there, I know many, many people that's all they do. One of our companies in the U.S., that's all it does is Google AdWords. It does $15 million a year from AdWords. Of course, we have 5,000 keywords. So, start there.
Also on the Google AdWords thing, just a small note, is that if you take it instead of 5 cents, start at 6 cents, because you're just one penny above everybody else, all the people that are doing the 5 cents.
Yeah, but I'm currently at $2, $3 a week.
But on bigger, I mean, that's on the bigger terms and to get ranking up those, possibly the wrong terms. But when you start going, see, the problem is with Google AdWords is most people don't use enough keywords. You know, it's like, for example, you know, I'll talk to a person, they'll say, I have 200 keywords on my Google AdWords account. That's crap. I mean, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money, you're wasting your energy. You know, 500 keywords, well, you're getting close. You know, 1,100 keywords, you're pretty much on the spot, except the fact that's only one category, one keyword campaign. Now let's fill in the rest of them. For example, I was telling Kurt out in the hall about, I did one for insurance. I have 19,000 keywords for insurance. Now, do I really care about the ones that aren't performing? No, because they'll get rid of them anyways automatically inside the account. But I'm generating an awful lot of traffic on any type of insurance that you can possibly think of to an affiliate program of a website that I don't even own, I don't even have a website for. And now, what if you took that, like Kurt suggested, to put in an opt-in page? What if you did all that and then drove an opt-in page? I mean, because project management, you have to have a huge, huge number of keywords on project management. I mean, just crazy numbers. Probably, I'll say between 15 to 20,000 keywords that you can easily generate in probably less than 2 or 3 minutes.
Actually, Ron, I'd like to add this in. You raised a very typical question that people often find a topic which has huge market, and at the same time you have very tough competition out there. Now, there are two things you can do. Number one, that everyone else has suggested, is that you need to sub-niche your market. And if the market is huge enough, you need to go narrow enough so that you isolate yourself from the mainstream of the market so that you don't face as much competition as if you were going, you know, in general. And the second thing, which is a good thing, you can turn the force of the competition to work for you is that because you isolated yourself from mainstream, so give you the opportunity to do joint venture deals with those people already playing in the marketplace. You offer them a piece of information which is specifically designed for your niche narrow market as an additional value to their existing customers, which will give you an opportunity to capture, you know, a certain amount of the customer base they already have. So that's how you play in a big market with a lot of competition.
Can I open up your mindset a little bit? A lot of the conversation, like you were talking about project management and things like that, when you're looking at your keywords, when you sit down at Google and you have a headache, do you type in acetaminophen? Do you type in Tylenol? Do you type in Advil? Or what do you type in?
Headache.
You type in the problem. And so often in the keywords I hear people talk about, well, I do project management. So they get 19,000 words related to project management, none of which are the problem that project management solves. So who's the most famous project management consultant that everyone looks to and is the leader who writes the book?
Well, hopefully he's on your speaker list, Eddie Obeng.
Okay, so do you use Eddie Obeng in your keywords?
Mm-mm.
Do you think there's a few people looking for him?
Oh, I'd say a few.
And if they are, could you buy his book wholesale and give it away as your opt-in?
Depends which book.
Right? So get the older one that you can buy because it's sitting in a warehouse for $2. Yep. Buy 500 of them, give them away for free, and you'll have a list of project management nuts. So when you're talking about your keywords, don't just think about, you know, your name and your company name and all that. Put in, you know, your competitors if you want. I mean, whoever's got the highest ranking. But I'm just saying, if you use a brand name that people are looking for, then, you know, I discovered this because I have pictures on my website of me and Zig Ziglar. And I found when I looked at my web stats, a lot of people were coming to my site were searching for Zig Ziglar or Jay Abraham. And I started out marketing myself as the affordable Jay Abraham. So it opened up my eyes to buying keywords that are related to you that aren't your keyword, if you understand what I'm saying. So think about the problems that you solve, okay?
Yeah.
Hi. What's the e-book called?
Deliver That Project. This is just a paper copy. Anyone who wants to have a quick look and go into joint ventures, folks.
Okay, I mean, there's a couple of things that's been occurring to me as we're sitting here. I mean, project managers presumably are freelance, short-term contract, self-employed?
They're everything employed as well.
Okay, yeah. All right. This applies to the other lady as well. There's some fantastic software coming out soon that matches up people who are looking for positions to people who are looking for. But it was, you know, I was thinking as you were talking there, you know, what is it that most people type in? You know, people need project managers in a hurry. No, it's a crisis, isn't it, situation. So, you know, they're going to go and they're going to say, where can I find a project manager? So if you could build up a reservoir of people who are always looking for project managers, do you think how popular you might become to project managers? And then you could charge those project managers a small amount of money to be on a database where people can come and search them by their specialty, by their experience, by their background. And great then the idea. Other thing, just very quickly, you know, again, this applies to the angel healers as well. I was listening to something recently, and they said, look for a niche of people who haven't been exposed to internet marketing and then sell them the solutions to their problems. Now, a lot of freelance project managers and angel healers, and in fact, the whole complementary thing, they don't know how to build a self-employed business. And you've got a lot of free tools, and you've got a lot of fantastic bonuses and articles and reports that you've bought and been given that you can actually market to those project managers to build up your database very quickly. You can even give stuff away to build up your database very quickly. And then you can sell your e-book on the back of that.
Okay.
All right, let's give Ron a hand.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Now, did you see how that applied to every single person in the room? That's what we're talking about. The next one right here. Come on up, introduce yourself, and tell us briefly how we can help you.
Thank you. Hi, guys. My name is Paul Quirk. How can you help me? I have a little problem, and I need some advice from you. Not surprisingly, otherwise I wouldn't be sat here. Having read Ted's book, How to Get Rich on the Internet, I'm sure everybody must have bought it by now. If you haven't,
I paid them to plug it.
My brother and I got inspired to get into the web, into the business. The question for us was what product. He works for Microsoft, I work for Oracle. We know just ridiculous amounts about computers. So I first thought, well, an e-book about helping people on that sort of subject. Then I thought, well, it's nice to give. So we created a website called Care of Windows XP, which exists at the moment, which just gives loads of information intended for ordinary people. You know, those people who haven't worked out, they need a virus checker, a firewall, something to do with spyware, how to set up a wireless network securely, all that sort of stuff is there, free, lots of information. Naturally, it makes no money. And it's got very little traffic because it's way too general at the moment to look at the search engines, and Kurt's kindly agreed to take a quick look at it for me to give some advice. Here's, though, the question. I need to know, do I carry on with it as it is and start concentrating on other areas, building other lines of business, all sorts of other areas, as we've been hearing about? Or, as well as that, do we try and make some money from this website in other ways? Two other ways occur to me. We can turn it into an e-book. There are e-books out there selling this information, which is more out of date than our versions, because ours is constantly updated. And they're, you know, they're charging the $30, the $50, whatever, for the information. Or do we explore a market which is obvious to me, but I wonder about the work? And that's like a home PC user support service. Okay, we'll give you the e-book, the one we just discussed, But in addition, for paying us, you know, $100 a year, $200 a year, we'll take emails from you and we'll answer your questions and then update the book and, you know, give you a response time. Not a full professional service, because that costs heaps if you want to do that. But for somebody with a small business or just a home user who needs that extra level of support, we'll do that. Great idea. Here's my concern. There are people in this world who are an utter disaster around computers. And you sign one of those individuals up. And I had an example. I won't tell you. They can tell you themselves whether, who it was. But they said they were dealing with someone who paid for their coaching services, but they're set up here. And this individual tried to send him an email, and they first tried sending it to the web address. Then when he said, no, it's name at domain, they typed in N-A-M-E-A-T-D-O-M. Right? Now, people like this need lots and lots of help. And you sign them up for like $100, $200, and your life has just suddenly been sucked down the drain. Right? And you can't take a holiday, and that's my fear. So the advice I want from the panel is, okay, I just listed my three options as I see them. Give me some advice, guys, because I'm not sure which way to go. Genuinely, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure that there's lots of ideas that you'll get, you know, from the rest of the speakers. But to start with, I think this is great that you have this kind of knowledge that one of you work for Microsoft and you work for Oracle. And I think you need to pick a smaller market again to start with, because the levels of PC users can be from a simple beginner that can't even find, you know, how to shut down the Windows to even some network, you know, engineers like you people are. So there are a few ways of taking into the market. Say you can come up some information products specifically designed for an area, so that, you know, you only service people living around London, or for a specific industry, or say 107 important questions you must ask before you commit to a small office networking, you know, contract. So you become an information product developer to provide those advice to small business owners or middle-sized business owners or home users, say how you set up your, you know, own home small network without, you know, lots of headaches. And you can provide them with consulting service, or you can subcontract to a group of people who can provide a physical service in a certain area, so that when people need service, they call these people, they come to your website, register a problem, and you can have those hundreds of technicians to service your customer without having to do them physically yourself. So it's a huge market again. I know that you've got a plenty of knowledge to apply to, and you need to service a market that is good enough to take your knowledge. Otherwise, people are going to ask you stupid questions, wasting your knowledge. So you need to lift up your targeted market to a certain level that satisfies, you know, only requires your kind of knowledge, not very, very basic level training. You can provide them those training once you have the database, but having other people to do those kind of work. So, but don't make it too difficult so that only high level of technicians will require your work. Now, this requires market research. So see how many people are looking for what kind of assistance technically as PC users or business owners who requires a small network in their offices, and then provide right information to that specific level of the market.
I was just going to say to not forget the power of multimedia in the self-help area, particularly with this sort of stuff. You know, very basic, a very concise, small Camtasia or screen capture. What's your product, Armin?
Screen cam generator.
You need a screen cam generator.
.com. Screen cam generator .com.
Yeah, I think that'll make the site more valuable to you, and you leverage off that, so you don't have to put in as many man hours, whether they're yours or someone else's.
You know, as you're saying, I mean, there's several options that you can actually do. First of all, if the site's not getting any traffic right now, which it's very little traffic, cause let's assume it's not getting any traffic. Okay, if it's not getting any traffic right now, forget the idea of putting any kind of advertising on there, because you're not going to get anyone to advertise on there. So that's out right there. Taking the information that's there and putting it into an ebook, certainly a possibility. Number two, you guys work for Microsoft and you work at Oracle. Do you do customer service at Microsoft or Oracle? Either one of you?
We've both done that. I mean, he's done his time.
Is that what you do right now?
I'm a consultant within Oracle. I go out and help people solve their problems.
So isn't it almost degrading to reduce yourself down to a customer service person?
Interesting point.
I'm saying that you're above that. You want to hire me nearly as much as you do.
And
trust me, what I'm saying is that, and I'm not saying anything bad about customer service people. I'm saying that to go from up here, from where you are, down to a customer service person, it's stepping way backwards, and you're trading dollars for hours.
Yes.
And and I can tell you this right now. I don't know you that well, but I can tell you this. I'm positive that you don't want to do that. And let's put it this way. I hope you do not want to do that,
right?
Because that is not you missed the whole objective of this weekend. If you do, so don't do that. First of all, I think the service. If you want to do the service, here's how you do the service. Okay, first of all, customer support for home users, and I would focus on home users. Here's how you do it. Very simple. You grab a company out of India, right? You pay them $1,000 a month. They'll answer about 10,000 support tickets for you, right? Now you charge people $27-$30 a month. Right? Now you put 1,000 people on it, right? How much is it still costing you, though? $1,000 a month, right?
Sorry.
So now you just profited $26,000 off of that. There's more than 1,000 people. Let me ask a question. How many people here have a problem with their computer right now? Raise your hand. Now, how many people would be willing to pay $27 a month to get, let's say, 40 support tickets, 40 questions answered for anything that you want about your computer? You see?
Could you form a line over here?
Right. So what I'm saying is when we do this joint venture together, what you do is, but that's how you do it. You outsource those things like that, because by outsourcing to places like India, you can, and I'm not just saying India, but any other places like that, you can get a whole support team, 10, 12, 20 people for $1,000 a month that will answer instantly at your beck and call. And they'll do it automatically. And I know this because we do this. We do this with support and transcribers and things of that nature. And you can do that right now. But on the book side, the information that you have on the website already, for example, like the virus and things like that. Virus, information and books are fantastic. There's one of the most famous books. I shouldn't say famous, but very profitable books on ClickBank is How to Fix Your PC. And all it is reg keys that you just double click and it installs it for you on the computer, right? It actually works. I mean, it's pretty good. It's a little scary if you don't know what you're doing, but it actually does work.
So you might want to think about that. Thank you.
Automatic.
Thank you.
Another angle, we've talked about the product versus the service, and obviously you don't want to be trading your hours of service, to fix people's PCs. I know my in-laws and, my relatives ask me for stuff like that, and, it bothers the heck out of me. So one thing that you should definitely do, though, is a comparison, though. We talked about the $27 a month, you get whatever, 40 support tickets. But on the site, you should have an option for people who want to consult directly with you. You say, hey, if you're at the site, obviously using Windows XP, has everybody in this seminar ever heard of a thing called remote desktop? Okay, well, he obviously knows about it. With remote desktop, he could log onto your computer and fix any problem as if he was sitting there. So you pitch that and say, okay, you can either, for $27 a month, you can get 40 questions answered by our staff, or you can pay me $500 an hour or whatever outrageous price that you want to put, that you'd be willing to do it maybe an hour or two a month at that price, but not much more than that.
And my employer currently charges £300 an hour for my
time.
There
you go. So make it £500 an hour. I'll remote desktop into your computer and fix any problem. So that's option A. That's the high-priced option. The low-priced option would be, the support tickets from India. You don't have to tell them their people are in India, but for $27 a month. And then even you could have a mid-price option. You say, look, if you have a problem with a network, you can get some people. Because, setting up a network in Windows XP takes, 5 minutes? But you could set up a medium-price option where you say, well, look, we'll have an English technician, English-speaking as well, log into your remote desktop into your computer and set up the network for £200. Or we'll have someone clean off all the viruses for £100. You know what I'm saying? And do it all by remote desktop, but not you doing it. Have a support staff. Maybe, So you have a tiered system, but you got to establish the value that, you know, you're just not some Joe Blow who just learned computers. You know, you work for Oracle, your partner works for Microsoft. You know, you got to establish the value right up front to make it a no-brainer that they're going to do one or the other. Because one of the things you commonly find, for example, with like spyware, if you get any spyware on your computer and you find out the name of it, if you go to Google and type in remove the name of the spyware, there will be a computer software program that will come up number one in the search, and they'll sell it for like $30, and all it does is remove that one piece of spyware. So when people get in that in a situation like that, they don't care the price. I mean, so that's a way to do it on a tiered system.
Very good. And Steve,
let me just challenge you in a different way, because it sounds like you're doing it because you could, but I'm not sure you guys sat down to think if you actually should. I mean, because just because you can isn't automatic. I mean, it doesn't sound like you guys did an environmental scan to find out what's going on in the competitive landscape. And if you did come to the conclusion that, you know what, this is something that we actually should do, have a strategy session, because many people, when they pursue a market, they tend to extend what is instead of looking to create what might be. I mean, if you think of, you guys are familiar with the Model T by Henry Ford in the States. I mean, if you think about his strategy, right? There were other expensive automobiles out there at the time, but that's not what he paid attention to, because there were tons of people still being carried around in a horse and buggy. So that's what he looked at. He didn't look to try to compete against these high-priced automobiles. But he also didn't say, I have bigger and fatter and stronger horses for you either. What he did is he created an automobile that was priced against a horse and buggy. He asked, what are they ultimately trying to do? They're ultimately trying to get around. They ultimately want transportation. So he gave them a better form. The horse and buggy served the same purpose, but it just took on a different form than an automobile. They couldn't afford the high-priced automobile, so he gave them an automobile priced against a horse and buggy. So what are you going to take, a horse farting in your face or an automobile? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you have to think strategy as well. If you're going to do it, you have to think strategy as well. But I think you guys need to go back and just ask yourself, you know, we can do this, but, you know, should we really actually be doing this? You know, maybe we should be doing something else. And if we want to do it, or maybe we're committed to a certain point and we want to have some kind of follow-through, maybe just like Armor generates leads for insurance companies, and, you know, we do the same thing as well for different companies. Maybe you make some agreement with the company that had, I mean, they're fully established. Like, listen, we have this slide up. We're going to kind of build it out a little bit further. How about you pay us as we send this live support over to you guys, and you just kind of like be a bridge to those guys, and you don't do anything. You know, I mean, you have to think strategy and not try to force, you know, pegs into circles, or is that squares into circles? Remember, I'm the one without the high speed of flowing, right? But do you understand what I mean? So step back and also think about the overall strategy. And it's impossible to be fully strategic in your business if you don't do an environmental scan. You don't look at what's going on socially. You don't look at what's going on with technology, what's going on with politics, what's going on with everything, what's emerging, what's converging, and all that kind of stuff, because you're going to always be building your business looking at your rearview mirror. You're going to always be basing your business growth and development on old data. You know what I mean? So you have to be more strategic. Everybody should be strategic in what it is they're doing, you know, in their businesses. So, I mean, I just want you to, you know, fully think about what you should ultimately be doing.
Let's give Paul a hand. Learned a lot. Got this gentleman back here who's had his hand up for the last hour. Hey, I'm going to try and get two in, so we're going to introduce yourself, briefly state it, and we'll go fast.
Hi, Dan. My name's David. I have a project which I'm actually hopefully doing with Nicholas Software, which is a networking project to match people to people. And basically, but what I want to do, it's a more geographical project. It's where I work in theatre, so it's to match stage managers and technicians and crew to jobs, because what tends to happen is the jobs need people very quickly. If I'm a production manager, I might need 10 more staff tomorrow. So it's what I'm after is the technology that will help me. I know it's Google Local and things, but it's to get someone to search on a central website, but to turn up prospects that are local to where they're searching from. So I wondered if there's any help on
MySpace.com. You need to go there. This is like the 33 33rd most visited website on the internet, and it's completely viral. You can apply it to any marketplace. You can buy the script to have that. It lets you have a blog. It lets you add friends. It would let theater people meet each other. It lets them have comment boards. It's extremely, extremely good for building a community. And once you get somebody on there, they sign up. There's people who go to MySpace 10 times a day just to talk to girls. Okay, that's what they do.
So what are you saying, Jason?
If you set this up for the theaters, you'd have people going back to this website every single day to say hi to all their friends, to go meet other theaters. No, I don't go to MySpace 10 times a day.
And hey, Jason, say the name again, the URL, clearly and slow.
MySpace.com. And I'll email, me and Dennis have our own private source code to set it up. I'll definitely hook you guys up with it. We use it on every single community site we want to build.
Mail it to Tom, and Tom will put it on the internet for you.
If we can do it legally. If we can do it legally, set you all up.
You know, one of the things you want to do is you want to become an you want to quickly become an industry standard. You know, so part of it is going to be branding itself. You want to create a name it something that is going to essentially be memorable. Let's just kind of leave it at that. Stage what? Stagestaff.com. That's pretty accurate. It says what it is. So it's a great name. So stagestaff.com, easy to remember. People can remember it. Now, the next part is to take. Advertise it. Where do these people hang out, and where do they hang out online? Yeah. And the question, the other part is, do you know?
Online, not particularly. They're the sort of people that I might have to market. Sorry.
Thank you. I think the chances are that there are some. I'm going to have to go through the associations and the unions and the main suppliers for the stuff that they buy,
okay,
to get joint ventures and get into their mailing lists and things like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, and that's really my point, is to go where they are, go the people that can contact them. Is there if there's a union, for example, I'm not sure if there is one here or not like that, but get on that list until you can contact it out to them, because you're doing the people in the union actually it's really a service at that point for them to actually get jobs.
Yes.
You could actually go through. Do you have unemployment offices here?
Yes.
Employment.
It's different. I mean, I've worked in the industry for 15, 20 years, so I know how to get a job in the industry and how to find people in the industry. It's matching, and they don't use agencies. Stage technicians and stage staff don't use agencies. So
okay,
it's word of mouth and knowing people.
Let's go grassroots promotion, meaning. Actually making up some flyers and actually taking them down to the theater district and asking them to hand them out backstage and things of that nature. I mean, and again, it may not be appropriate, but, you know, it's simple word of mouth. And again, people, how about paying people to refer other people?
Well, I thought of the affiliate thing, actually, because most of these things have crossed my mind already. It's more that some of the technology to be able to get the people that I've already got on the database to the location. It's like the Google local type.
How about getting a sponsor, right? Some kind of sponsors that will actually give either money and or a prize away. And here's what you do, and I got this idea from Steven, is actually a point system, right? For every member that they refer, they actually receive a point, right? And there may be a big old prize. You hook up with a travel agency, for example, maybe give away a free vacation, right? Now, the people that actually refer the most members to the system will win a prize. But here's the deal. Someone's going to win a prize every month. Now, if you referred, every person that you refer gives you another chance to win that prize. Let me give you an example. For example, I referred Stephen, Jenny, Kurt, and David, right? Now, if one of the people I referred wins the vacation, I win too. Okay? So there's two vacations. So again, so how many people do I want to refer into the system?
As many as possible.
As many as possible, because it's going to give me more chance, like another ticket in the lottery. And so I refer as many people as I possibly can into the system, and then, you know, those people have the same opportunity as well too. And so now you're creating this viral trend, and it's just all you're doing is you're giving more incentive towards word of mouth advertising, and that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is really very, very new, and that's some fantastic ideas for that as well. It does actually do geographical searching down to town you know, down to the nearest town. And we've got the facility to send out an SMS text message to people to get to them really quickly as well. So if someone's looking for theatre staff in a real hurry, it goes out to everyone's mobile phone. And I can see how we could you know, definitely turn that around as well. And perhaps, you know, it's a free registration and it's a paid subscription. So, you know, we could say if you refer four or five friends, you get a free subscription. And yeah, it's a brilliant idea. Thank you, Anna.
But the issue is basically filling it with the staff right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Right. This is going to be the last one. The gentleman back on the back row. And you know the drill by now. Come up, introduce yourselves, and state your challenge or our opportunity.
Hi. Everyone, I'm Fitzadom. What I've got is I've got a software productivity tool that actually helps active job seekers save time in looking for relevant positions in most job markets. It's a relatively new tool, but at the minute, I haven't got any traffic to it. I haven't got any traffic to the website, and I'm looking for ways to drive traffic and be able to sell the software. So that's my challenge, actually.
No, Jason just said, what have you tried?
At the moment, the site is very new, so I haven't tried anything yet. But I have some ideas, which hasn't been implemented.
First of all, you can sell it to David. Your software could also help a gentleman like David, who was just up here a second ago. Because if it complements, there's a lot of other people in the room that you could complement and help each other with.
Cool. Thank you.
The question is, first of all, does the software work?
It's done, completed.
Okay, is the website fully functional?
Fully functional.
Okay, so everything's ready to go. And so basically you just need traffic to the site. And
exactly.
it's a job seeker type.
Job seeker type.
Okay, so like a monster.com type idea.
Well, what it does is that normally I think job seekers jump from one site to the next.
Okay.
So it brings back results from all the other job sites, both UK and US.
So just let me understand. So what it is that you go to your site and I can search all the other job sites from your site. Is that correct?
Well, it is actually a desktop tool. It's not a web-based tool. So it's a PC.
So you have to download the software?
You have to download the software.
Do they have to buy the software?
There is a demo version of the software, so eventually they have
but
to buy
But they have
it.
To buy the software, ultimately.
Yeah, they have to buy it.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to, the reason why I'm asking these questions is so we understand the actual revenue model of what you're trying to do, because there's two different types of revenue model. If it was an online program like Monster.com, then you're looking at an advertising base as far as revenue. If it's a downloadable where you're actually buying the software, that's obviously a whole other scenario as to how it is. You know, the biggest question I would have, and this is just off the top of my head because I don't know this market, even though I guess I am unemployed, really. But I don't have a job.
I'm kind of laughing.
But the biggest question I have is, You're targeting a, okay, I'll just say it. I mean, because there's only one way to say it. You're targeting a market that's broke to begin with. They don't have a job.
No, not people out of a job, but people looking to change jobs.
Okay.
Who are in a job already and looking to change careers, per se. Not job seek, not, well, unemployed.
Well, what I would do is here's what I would do first. Now, I honestly don't know if the software will sell, because I don't know the market at all. But what I do know is this, is that the way that I test something that I'm not unsure about is I blast the traffic to it. I mean, I just turn up all my keywords. I turn up all my keywords as far as the price I'm bidding up to a reasonable amount and throw 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people at it and see what happens. And the reason why I'm doing that is to see, A, will my site convert at all? Out of 2,000-3,000 people, someone should buy something. If they don't buy out of that many people, hopefully you figure that out sooner than that. But if they don't buy anything, then we've got a problem. We've got a big issue. The other thing I would do is when they leave the page and they don't buy, I would ask them, I would have a little pop-up window pop up and say, why didn't you buy my product? You know, please tell me. And then now that you're building this database of why they didn't buy, which is the most important information that I want to know, out of the 90, 97 to 95% of the people that leave my site, I want to know why they're not buying so I can fix it on my site. So you want to find out, especially early on, regarding that particular project. But blast traffic, and the way I'm going to blast traffic at it is to use Google AdWords, a bunch of keywords, just turn up the traffic. And I'm not going to start, I'm going to do totally opposite of what Kurt said. I'm going to probably increase my, he's talking about starting at 5 or 6 cents. What I'm going to do is I'm going to boost it up even a little higher. Not a dollar or anything like that. I don't want to pay too much money. But I'm going to go a little higher so I can get more traffic faster. And then also you want to make sure, even when you do that, you want to be careful when you do that, meaning what day of the week, because you don't necessarily want to do, I wouldn't do it over a weekend necessarily. I would do it during the week where these people, you know, would be more likely searching.
Cool. We're talking about traffic here, and that's all great, and get the traffic going to it. But what we've got to talk about is... Which is what we're talking about is really is conversion, right? Getting them going from interested to serious, right? So, I'm just going to recap some basic stuff here. It's nothing, cutting edge. Your basic principles of copywriting, I gave you a formula today. You can apply at least most of that. Bottom line is we want proof that what you're selling works, okay? And we want proof that what you're selling works, right? Best thing we can do is, how can we give proof?
Testing.
Testimonials. Someone's saying testing, is that right? No. Testimonials, that's right. Evidence. Evidence. Now, how good is it? Where's the proof? All the whole thing. Basic stuff. So this is all just, this is not sexy stuff. Basic ideas, show the people how it works and get them working.
Thank you.
Real quick, as far as getting traffic, I mean, if you don't mind some sweat equity, that's using your brains and your back, by the way. A strategy that could probably work out for you is going into existing channels. I mean, there's quite a few people that sell ebooks on how to get a job, and chances are they don't have a back-end product, right? So you go to them and offer your service as a back-end to their ebook, and if they've already been building lists and have existing customers, maybe they'll do an email to the list of people that are looking for a job. Now, the big question is what your matrix is going to be, what kind of conversions you're going to have. Because you don't have traffic, you don't really know what that is, but this is a way to get some targeted traffic on the cheap if you don't mind contacting them. And if it works out, then you'll have these people automatically sending traffic as a back end off of these ebooks on getting jobs that you're selling.
Cool.
All right.
You know, we've talked so much about AdWords. I think we just need to give someone another alternative using AdWords. And I'm not talking about Overture either. What I'm talking about is actually advertising. I mean, when I say advertising, is advertising and easings. One of the ways that I get started on the internet is I didn't have a list, and so I sent an email out. This is probably the wrong thing to do, but this is what I did. I sent it out to 500 people, and what I did is out of those 500 people, they had newsletters. I asked them, will you be my affiliate for my program, and I'll pay you 35% commission if you do it. Overnight, I had 175 people actually, say yes, and we made $5,000 that week on that software without a list, starting from zero. Now, the one way that you can do that same concept today is actually paying a little bit of money, and I think is more preferable to me at least, and that is I'd go to a place like ezine-universe.com, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to search for jobs or job seekers or employment ezines, and then I'm simply just going to buy an ad in it, a four-line classified ad inside of there, and inside the four-line classified ad, I'm just going to advertise what my product is, a blatant four-line classified ad. And if it goes out to 15,000 people, it may cost me $10. Now, we don't know how many people are going to click through it. Obviously, only as good as our ad is. But we can do this over and over again on any topic that you want. I mean, think about it. You buy 10 ads, right? You just sent your message out to 100,000 people. Depending on how good your ad is, will determine how many people click through to your website, and then it's up to you to take it from there, either capture the name and email address, or, certainly sell them your product, whichever method you happen to be choosing.
Thank you.
All right, let's give Fitz a hand.
Thank you.
Okay, that's about the last hot seat we're going to do. But again, remember, we've got time tomorrow. And speaking of which, make sure that you do make your time count tomorrow, because this is day number 3, and, tomorrow is day number 4, and that's it. Tell you what, now, don't forget, because we Americans have always, 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 always heard that the Brits are reserved. So you're invited to a party to show us that we're bad stereotyping, okay? Yeah. Somerset room over there on the other side of the reception. Tomorrow, you are in for a treat, so don't party too hardy because Ted Siuba opens up at 8:30 a.m. And none of this would happen without these great experts. So let's give them a great hand and say thank you.